The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them when the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and then said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him a gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
I'd like to talk about something that is happening more and more these days, namely the tension between organized religion and individual spirituality. Remember the man named Eckhart Tolle. For those of you who don't know who he was a self-proclaimed spiritual sort of guru who appeared many times on Oprah's show back when that was a thing. He saw the particular religions as divisive and finally unnecessary. He believed that what underlies all of them is a basic set of spiritual convictions and intuitions. When we grasp and follow these underlying principles rather than the religion itself, we are spiritually awakened. And we don't fall victim to the arrogance of particular traditions of revelation that claim to be absolute, such as our own. And then we are spiritual rather than religious. In fact, that's better for us. You might remember Joseph Campbell gave a series of interviews to Bill Moyers about 30 years ago, and he made pretty much the same argument, that it's much better to follow this fundamental spiritual intuition behind all the religions than to cling to any particular religion. Now, these thoughts did not originate with these men. Many humanists of the Renaissance made a similar argument. People like this would rather be identified as seekers rather than believers. They see themselves as independent spiritual operators rather than members of a church. They call themselves spiritual rather than religious. Some will say that their work or nature amounts to a religion by itself, since they claim to find God there. And God indeed can be found in experiences in nature, or sometimes even in everyday life, or the sciences, for those who are open to that. And it is certainly true that many of the saints and mystics of the very different various traditions have some things in common. However, in none of these other spiritualities is one addressed by the personal and living God. Notice how in all the other spiritual approaches, we're doing the seeking. It's as though the spiritual person, him or herself, is in the active role, and God is discovered at the end of some long journey. For these folks, it's much more desirable to turn God into a distant and abstract force who remains in the deep background of life, and therefore doesn't make a personal appeal or any demands on anyone. The God that these spiritualities seek is found by the seeker and on their terms. But because of this, such people will never reach into God's mind and God's purposes. It's like how we get to know a person from the outside. We meet someone. We size them up in a certain way. Maybe we even do a Google search on them and find out some basic facts about them. But there comes a time when that person must speak, must share something with us before we really get to know them. It doesn't mean that our sizing up of the person or our Google search needs to be thrown away at that point, but it often does mean that what the person reveals to us by speaking is necessarily deeper than these other things and more close to the truth of who the person is. The unique biblical position is that God is not a distant force, but a person who speaks and acts in history, someone who reveals to us his mind and purpose. Yes, we are spiritual seekers, but above all, God is the seeker. God is someone who seeks us out and speaks a word of truth to us, both publicly and privately. Now perhaps we can see why naked spirituality is never enough, why spirituality must give way to something higher, richer, and deeper if it is to come to know the true God. It's like the difference between coming to know someone through a Google search and coming to know them by conversing with them, listening carefully to what the person has to say. It's against this background that I want to talk about the Magi, or Magoi in Greek. That word in the past has been translated as astrologers, kings, wise men, because really we don't know exactly what the word means, which is why we return to using just the original word, Magi. However, many scholars agree that they were probably some combination of what we would call astrologers and astronomers. They were part of a stargazing culture, such as could be found in Babylon and Persia in the first century, who believed that measuring the planets and stars could reveal to them the will of God. So, on their terms, using their own skills, these dedicated men sought out the will of God. The Magi are very good symbols of humanity's seeking out of God. But notice, they don't know precisely where to go until they meet with the representative of Israelite religion, who tell them on the basis of revelation, in other words, the Bible, where the Messiah is to be born. So they followed a star, which could be thought of as following their own calculations and intuitions, but finally, only when they come to the Holy Land and speak to people who are expert in divine revelation, only then do they know precisely where to go and precisely whom they are seeking. These experts tell them where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. Perhaps to some people, it might be offensive to their sensibilities and seems culturally insensitive, but the biblical claim is that there is a people that was chosen by God to be unique bearers of his revelation to the world. They were chosen not for themselves, but precisely for the purpose of the nations, for all the seekers of the world, that all who seek might find him through the focused revelation that was given to this people, Israel. So we can't simply reduce ancient Israel to one nation among many, or the revelation given to them as one more spiritual program among many. There was something distinct and unique about Israel. It was God speaking his own mind and heart to them. So God gave them the law, covenants, patriarchs, the temple, the long tradition of worship, the prophets. And by these means, he shaped the people according to his heart. And as the culminating moment in this revelation, he sent his only son for the salvation of the world, who came out of the Jewish people. To all the spiritual seekers today who want God, we should say, that's good. Follow that yearning of your heart. But you won't find him in his own self-revelation apart from his own people Israel, and by extension now the church, which bears the great revelation. It's Israel which culminates in the coming of Christ, who gathers together all the spiritual longing of humanity. So we can cultivate all our spiritual powers, learn as much as we can from philosophy and mythology, seek with all our hearts, learn the spiritual wisdom of all the great traditions, but realize finally that all of that remains incomplete unless and until it draws us to the God of Israel, revealed in that baby, born in straw poverty, who is the manifestation of the divine love which created the whole universe, and which seeks us out with the passion of a mother or a father. You see, finally, it's not our seeking that matters so much. Finally, it matters that we are sought by a God who hunts us down like the hound of heaven, a God who breaks open his own heart for us. That was the center of many of Jesus' parables, was exactly that point. Finally, our spiritual seeking must give way, must surrender, and must allow itself to be found. That's what the story of the Magi shows us.